How China's making new moves on trade after the election. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. China is angling to increase its influence on global trade following the U.S. presidential election. President-elect Trump campaigned against the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. China is now trying to strike deals of its own with Asian nations. And as of today, Australia says it is on board. BBC Economics correspondent Andrew Walker joins us to talk about all this. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Mark.
So, Andrew, the Trans-Pacific Partnership did not include China in the first place, but now that the TPP's future is in doubt, how's China responding?
By all reports, it's getting more enthusiastic about some other negotiations that have been going on for some time. That's the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, which includes China, Japan, India, a few other countries, and the nations of Southeast Asia. It's certainly thought that China is quite enthusiastic about developments for two reasons. One is because those other partners, many of whom are involved in TPP, will presumably now be more enthusiastic about this alternative that does involve China, but also about the thought that perhaps that China will now have more influence in shaping the ground rules for international trade across the Pacific region in the years ahead.
Now let's go beyond the Asian region for a moment. What are global investors expecting from a Trump administration? Are they thinking they'll get the harder line stance about trade that we heard on the campaign trail, or perhaps something more pragmatic once President-elect Trump is actually in office?
Well, I think the fact that stock markets have done pretty well and certainly confounded any expectations of a severe turbulence, I think that fact suggests that investors are thinking that a more modest, pragmatic approach to international trade is likely to come out in the end.
Okay, the BBC's Andrew Walker. Thanks very much.
My pleasure, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down somewhat in global trading. In the UK, shares are down 0.3%. In Germany, shares down 0.4%. Similar story in France. Asian markets closed mostly up. We're seeing a surprisingly busy period for corporate mergers and acquisitions. Last month set a record with hundreds of billions of dollars in deals, and that was before the election. Let's bring in Marketplace contributor Chris Farrell to talk about this. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Mark.
Now, we'll talk about the election impact on this, but in reality, the hot environment for deals started before the election results came in. So explain what's driving that.
So the mantra is consolidate, consolidate, consolidate. You just have to get bigger to make these huge investments in technology and supply chains and just the kind of infrastructure that managements feel they need to be competitive in this global economy. And I know the global economy is under some cloud of uncertainty. Nevertheless, it is a global economy. There's a lot of competition. You got to bulk up.
Now, there are a lot of American companies that have a lot of cash piled up. What does it say about the economic outlook that they're using the money either to buy other companies or just return it to shareholders rather than investing to grow what they have now?
Private sector investment has been very low. So I think this is a defensive move by companies to consolidate. And it's not that starry-eyed risk-taking, we're going to make a bet on the future. And when they decide to take a risk, it's really a defensive measure. Let's get bigger. And then hopefully that way, we can at least limit how much competitors are going to take from us in terms of profits and market share.
Let's talk about what could happen next year, because President-elect Trump has said some things about mergers that are not typical of Republicans. What's the future of deals in the Trump administration?
And we don't really know what a Trump administration is going to do, but it's a pretty safe bet that you're going to get some kind of fiscal stimulus, infrastructure spending. So I think that's going to be a trigger. If you've been sitting in the executive suite and you've been thinking, all right, do we strike a deal and interest rates, which makes deals more expensive, are going up, I think you're going to make your move and you're going to decide, you know what, this economy is going to continue to grow because we're in an environment of fiscal stimulus plus less regulation. Now's the time to make our move.
Okay. Marketplace contributor Chris Farrell, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Starting next year, United Airlines will offer cheaper fare options. The new basic economy fare makes United the latest major airline to try and lure passengers from low-cost carriers like Spirit and Frontier. Gigi Duban has more.
With United's basic economy fare, you get your seat assignment at check-in. And if you're traveling with someone, no guarantees you'll sit together. Carry-on bags? Nope. you get one small personal item. United is sending a clear message to cheap airlines like Spirit.
They should not think that they're going to be able to take market share away from us without us fighting back.
That's Cliff Winston, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. It's important to note these fares will only be available on certain routes. Even so, the cheap airlines still have a leg up on cost. David Brownstone teaches economics at the University of California, Irvine.
They don't stock any food on the planes at all, so they don't have to deal with that.
He says cheap carriers also don't have to maintain lots of hubs or a wide variety of aircraft. Then again, Brownstone says airlines like United can still make plenty of money on full fare and first-class passengers. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a new record following a closely watched art auction. A painting by Willem de Kooning sold for $66.3 million at Christie's in New York last night. That's a new high for the abstract expressionist, above the price it was expected to fetch. Observers have been hoping for a strong auction amid questions about the art market following uncertainty after the U.S. election and the Brexit vote earlier. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From 8 p.m., American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.